Psalms chapter number 51. I want to get right into this. I want to read all 19 verses of Psalms 19. I always like to try to preach something before I preach anywhere else, but I have never preached this, and so I'm nervous on top of that. But I could not get away from it. It's what the Lord's laid upon my heart. And I trust today you get some help. Psalm 51, the Bible said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make to me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Now that's reading all 19 verses, and I want to preach today on the effects that sin has in our life, on the results that sin has in our life. We're in this building today, and there's not an individual that are here today that sin has not affected our life. There's not a church, there's not a home that are here today that sin has not touched our churches and our families in one form or another. Sin is at an all-time high in this world, but not just in the world, but it's at an all-time high in our churches. And I want to say today that we've got to guard ourselves and protect ourselves, that we do not allow other people's choices to affect our choices. There's people that are making choices and the decisions that they will not be able to get straightened out in a lifetime. And so we've got to guard ourselves and protect ourselves, that we do not allow their choices and their decisions to affect us. And so we know that Psalms chapter number 51, we know that David has got in the sin. We know that David is getting right in these verses. But I want to say today that David should have been at the battle, but David was not at the battle. The Bible said that David tarried still at Jerusalem. And because he tarried still at Jerusalem, we know that David committed adultery this morning. That we know that David got his life all messed up. But I want to say today that if you and I are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're going to end up in trouble just like David did. And David ended up in trouble because he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. And so we know that Psalms chapter number 51, David's messed his life up. David's committed adultery, and David's trying to cover it up. And he brings Uriah off of the front lines and brings him home. And he's trying to cover up his sin. He's trying to hide it, to keep it away from anybody. And he gets Uriah drunk. So the day we find that David now in Psalms chapter number 51, he's getting right with God. He's coming back to God, and we see the results of what sin does in David's life, but not just in David's life, but it also is an effect that it's going to have in your life. It's also the result that it's going to have in my life. If you'll notice here in these verses, I don't have an alliterated outline. I've just
just going to preach these verses. Amen. In verse number one, notice what David said. David said, blot out my transgression. I want to say first of all today that David, I'm telling you, when he's committed that sin, he transgressed against God's law. And so in verse number one, we know that when we sin, we break God's law. We're guilty of transgressing God's law. The Bible said in 1 John 2:2, the Bible said that sin is a transgression of the law. And so today we know that David had sinned and David transgressed God's law. Therefore, it made him guilty of breaking God's law. I think we don't realize the seriousness of that, and we forget how serious it is when we sin, that we're not just sinning against people, we're sinning against God. We're transgressing, and it makes us guilty of breaking God's law. And that's exactly what David did in these verses. And David said, blot out of my transgressions. And so David was guilty of breaking God's law. I wish we loved God enough that we'd be brokenhearted over our sin when we disobey God's word. I wish that we'd be brokenhearted over it, but here's the problem. Most of the time we're not brokenhearted because we broke God's law, because we're guilty. We're brokenhearted because of the punishment, because of the consequences of that sin, and we're not really sorry that we've done what we've done, but it was a transgression against God's law, and David broke God's law. And when you sin, and I sin, I'm telling you, it makes you feel guilty. Today, when you sin and transgress the law of God, then we notice in verse number two, notice if you will, in these verses today, the Bible said, not only was sin today, when you sin, the result of sin, the effect of sin, it's going to make you feel guilty, but today, sin's going to make you feel dirty. Bible said in verse number two, David said, wash me. Amen. Today, are you listening to me? I'm telling you, when you sin, you're going to feel dirty. You're going to feel vile. That is the effect of sin. You're going to feel wretched because that's what sin does. It makes you feel dirty. It makes you feel unclean. And David said, I'm getting right with God. I'm coming back to God. I've done wrong. But said, I want to encourage you to understand today, when you sin, you transgress the law of God. And when you sin, you're going to feel dirty. Amen. David said in verse number two, he said, wash me. Now that word wash me this morning or this afternoon simply means an outward cleansing. David said, I need everything that you can see on the outside. I need it washed up. Everything that I can see and everybody else can see, I needed to be taken care of. It's made me feel dirty. I feel unclean and I need washed. He said, I need an outward cleansing. But in verse number two, not only did he say, wash me, but David says, cleanse me. He said, I don't just need an outward washing, but I need an inward cleansing. He said, I need my heart to be clean. I broke God's law. I'm guilty of breaking God's law. I feel dirty. I need to be washed outside, but I need to be washed on the inside. I need my heart washed. I need my conscience clean today. Amen. David said, to cleanse me. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you today, David wanted to get right, and he's getting right with God, but he's saying, hey, this is the effect that sin has in your life. Amen. Then he says in verse 2, not only wash him, outward cleanse him, but cleanse him. That's inward cleansing, but he said, do it thoroughly. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? That means wash me all over, amen. Wash behind my ears, wash in those places that nobody else can see. I want you to do a good job of it. Some of us just need to get through and right with God and not just get an outward cleansing, but get an inward cleansing. If you do not get your heart clean, you're going to end up back in sin. I'm telling you, you're going right back into sin if you do not get an inward cleansing. You only have of that outward cleansing. Notice that in verse number 7, David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I ain't got time to preach about that hyssop, but he said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And you know what David said? Said, my sin made me feel dirty, made me look dirty, made me smell dirty. And that's what sin does. When you transgress the law of God, it's going to make you feel dirty. It's going to make you unclean. And you're going to need to be washed. And you're going to need to be cleansed. Amen. And it needs to be done thoroughly. Amen. Bible said in verse number 10, or the Bible said in verse number 10, created me a clean heart, David said, oh God. I'm telling you, I want the inside of me clean. I'm not interested in impressing any of you here today. I'm telling you today, I want to have a walk with God. I want my heart to be clean. I want my heart to be pure today, amen. So David said, I'm guilty of transgressing God's law. Verse 2, David said, I need to be washed because sin has made me dirty. Verse number 3, David said that my sin, we see the effects and the result of sin. David said that his sin had affected his memory. We see in these verses that are before us, in verse number 3, sin will scar your memory. Yeah. David said, my sin is ever before me. Yeah. You better listen to me today before you go get into sin and make choices and decisions that's going to affect your life and other people's life. Hey, I'm telling you, there's pleasure in sin, and you're going to have a good time. But when it's all over and said and done with, you have transgressed God's law, and you're going to feel dirty, and it's going to scar your memory. Amen. David is saying in these verses that my sin is ever before me. David said, look, I'm trying to get right with God the best I can. I've done wrong. I've sinned and I've transgressed God's law. But I'm coming back to God and I'm trying to forget about all of this. I'm trying to put it behind me. And so every time I turn around, it's just being brought back in front of my face. We went to God, we'd have a delete button to delete it, to get away from it. But you cannot get away from it because sin will scar your memory. Yes, you can get forgiveness. Thank God it can be put under the blood. But I'm telling you, it's going to scar your memory. I want you to consider this. Did you think David could just easily, Brother Josh, forget about that he took another man's wife? Do you think David could just forget about that? That he destroyed another man's family? Or do you think that David could just easily forget about that he had Uriah brought off of the battlefield and had his life taken? A man that would have took a bullet for him? A man that would fight for him? Do you think David could just easily forget about that? Do you think David just forgot about there was a baby that died here? There was a baby as a result and the effects of his sin. There was a baby that died. I'm telling you, David never got over that. He said, my sin is ever before me. It's like brand, it's like putting a brand on your mind. You cannot get away from it. And you'll always remember that sin that you have committed. But David said, and that's the reason I want you to wash me. That's the reason I want you to cleanse me. I have transgressed God's law, and sin has scarred my memory. You think David could just easily forget that Ahithophel, a counselor that spoke as the oracles of God, and here here is betrayed this man's trust. Here's a man that loved David, and David's sins affected his family. I'm telling you, sin's affecting us in our churches. And I'm telling you today, when you get into sin, the result of that sin, you can get right with God. But I'm telling you, it's going to brand your memory. It's going to scar your memory. Amen. We know that God wants us to obey His word. And God wrote this word, but I'm telling you today, every one of us, when we disobey it, we transgress the law of God. You need to realize this is going to make you feel guilty. It's going to make you feel dirty, and it's going to scar your memory. I wonder today, Jonah, when he fled the presence of the Lord and ended up in the belly of that whale, I wonder if Jonah ever forgot about that. When we get to heaven, I guarantee you, Jonah will still be able to tell us what the side of them rib cage looked like inside that whale. About that seaweed that was wrapped about his head. And every one of us in this building today, you better get a hold of this. You young people better listen to me today. I tell you, you may think you're having a good time, and you may think you're covering it up, and you may try to hide it. The preacher may not know about it, but sin's going to make you feel dirty. Sin's going to make you feel vile and wretched, and you've transgressed the law of God. And I'm telling you today, the only way you're going to get right is get it purged with that hyssop. Oh, thank God for the grace of God today, and it's going to scar your memory. In verse number 3, we see it scarred his memory. Luke chapter 15, that prodigal son came home. He got right with God. But I guarantee you, when he'd go out there to feed them hogs, I guarantee you he was reminded of where sin took him. I guarantee you tears would run down his cheek. As he started looking, hey, I used to be there. I'm telling you what sin done to him. But thank God he was back in the Father's house. But sin scars our memory. And David is saying today, hey, you can get right with God, but don't forget the effects of sin. Verse number four, Bible said that David said, God, I've sinned against thee and thee only. David's sin was a personal offense against God. Amen. David's sin and his sin was a personal offense against God. Now I realize today that when we sin, I realize that we hurt our family. I realize that when you sin, that you hurt the church. I realize that when you sin, you hurt the pastor, and you hurt your spouse, your wife, your husband, or your children. I realize all of that. But I want to ask you a question today. Does it even bother anybody in the building that when we sin and transgress God's law, that we have personally offended God? We weep that we've hurt our mom, and we weep that we hurt our daddy. But how much weeping is going on because we have hurt God? It's a personal offense against God. I wonder today, is there anybody in the building that's even bothered that your sin has hurt God? That your sin is a personal offense against God? Well, it's nobody else's business. I'm telling you, sin's a serious business. Sin today is the problem. And people making choices and decisions that are affecting people around them. And I'm simply telling you today that when you sin against God, today it's a personal offense against God. Then in verse number five, we see today. Or verse number 6, let me jump to verse 6. When we sin, it robs us of truth. David said, behold, thou desirest truth in those inward parts, that he needed to be clean. Sin robs us from truth. David said, I need truth. I need wisdom of God. But my sin has taken me away from truth. My sin has got me away from the wisdom of God. But I'm coming back to that truth. I am longing for that truth. I need that wisdom. I can't go on like this. My life's a mess. My life has been snowballing. It's fell apart, and I'm coming back to God. I need that truth. I need that wisdom, and I'm coming back to it. Sin, the effects of sin will rob you from truth. And I'm going to tell you, when you live in sin long enough, you won't even be able to figure out what truth is. People are trying to justify their sin. People today are just trying to make excuses for their sin. I'm telling you, it's a sin today. Sin has robbed you from truth. When you sin, I'm telling you, you're not going to see preaching the same. You're not going to see the church the same. And people have watered down the truth. I think about that great commandment in Matthew chapter 22. To where that lawyer was tempting the Lord, and he said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And the Lord said, "To love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind." And I begin to meditate on that, and preacher, I've heard people preach about loving the Lord with all your heart. I've heard people preach about loving the Lord with all your soul. But how do we love the Lord with all of our mind? So I begin to meditate upon that, and here's the only way that we can love him with our mind is to embrace truth and refuse and reject lies and error and follow truth and embrace truth. And what is truth, Pilate said? And he said, "Thy word is truth." And today I'm telling you, sin will rob you from truth. David said, "I'm getting right with God because I need this truth in my life." If you're here today, if you got into sin, it's robbed your truth, I guarantee you. Every one of us know that. Verse 12, the Bible said sin will steal your joy. Amen. David said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." We all know that. Sin will steal your joy. We've got categorized about sin, but what about gossip and sowing discord that so many people's joy has been stolen? David said, "You know, I'm tired of being saved and sad." Amen. There's people, said in our churches week after week, and they say they're saved, but they look so sad. I'm telling you, it's because of sin somewhere in their life has stolen their joy, and it's stealing many people's joy. Let me hasten and say in verse number 9, sin will make you feel lonely. David says in verse number 9, "Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities." I'm telling you today, sin will make you feel lonely and reject. That is going to be the effects of sin. Amen. You're going to feel lonely and rejected, and you're going to feel like an outcast. That's what sin does. Amen. We see that in verse number 9. Then in verse number 12, or verse number 10, should I say, the latter part of verse 10, I want to say sin will destroy your attitude. It will destroy your spirit. David said, "Renew a right spirit within me, O God." Don't you think of this? David was a man that was talented, that could play a harp, and he could calm people. Was a blessing to people. But now David's got into sin, and David is no longer can be a blessing because now his attitude's affected and his spirit's affected. And now David is sitting here trying to get right with God, and the first thing he said is, "My attitude ain't been right about this." There's talent in this building today that is unbelievable. Some of you have been able to be a blessing to people down through the years, and you know what's happened? Sin's got in your life. And it's affected your attitude. And now the pastor can't use you. The church can't use you. Because you do not realize today that it has affected your attitude. Amen. But sin is going to affect your spirit and your attitude. And you can rest assured on that. Amen. Then I'm going to close today. I'm telling you, as we look at all these verses, I could just do so much preaching. In verse number 11, sin makes you seem distant from God. David said, "Cast me not away from thy presence." Is everybody listening to me? Now I want to say this. God didn't cast David away. David made a choice to get in that sin. David walked away. And you know, I hear people say, "Well, I just can't feel God. And I feel like God's 1,000 miles away from me." And I'm telling you, that's what sin does. It makes God seem distant from you. But it ain't God that casts you away. You made that choice. You made that decision to walk away from God. I hear people say all the time, "Well, you know, the church is the one cast me out." Oh no, the church ain't the one cast you out. The church is the one has to deal with that sin. But today I'm telling
tell you, you made that choice to walk away. You made that decision to get in that sin. So don't blame it on the church. Don't blame it on God. It was your choice. And it's going to make you seem distant from God and the church and everybody that's in the church and the people of God, and it'll affect your spirit, it'll affect your attitude. And I'm telling you today, it's going to scar your memory and it's going to make you feel dirty, amen, because you have transgressed God's law. Latter part of verse 11, David said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Can I say sin will affect the influence of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in your life? Every pastor in this building today would agree with me with this. You sit and watch them, and you preach truth, and they sit there before, I mean, the right spirit and good attitude, and now sin's got in their life, tears used to roll down their face, and they would respond to preaching. And they would come down to an old-fashioned altar, and they would get things right. But now they turn a deaf ear to what's being preached. You know what's happened? Sin has affected the influence of the Holy Spirit in their life. And David said, Lord, please don't take it away from me. I'm telling you today that this is the effect and the results of sin. The Bible said in verse number 13, when you and I get into sin, we will not witness to sinners. David said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Brother Raines preached a message several years ago here in this building on smoke signals from Sodom. You remember that preacher? And you know one of his points? I'll never forget. I can just about name all the points. He talks about sin as a separator, sin as a silencer. You remember that? You know what sin has done to us? It has shut our mouth. We ain't telling no sinners about Christ. You know why? Sin has silenced us. Amen. And we see that in these verses. Sin will affect your singing. In verse number 14, the Bible said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, and my salvation and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I tell you, people come in, sin on their life, they're not singing unto the Lord. No, they're not. Sin's affected their singing. They come in, won't even open up a song book. Come through the back door, don't even have their Bibles. Amen, that's exactly right. Then in verse number 15, I want to say that sin will affect your praise. He said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Sin is affecting our praise. And then verse 19, sin will affect your use of the altar. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall thou offer bullocks upon thine altar. If you'll notice in verse number 16, here's what needs to happen when you come to an altar. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. When's the last time you've been on an old-fashioned altar weeping with a contrite heart? Or do you just come down and get an outward washing and end up back in sin because you never got an inward cleansing? Amen. Father, I love you today. I thank you for truth. Thank you for this.